This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Tonight, on a special edition of Turning Point, white power, once again out of the shadows.
It's a cancer in the fabric of this country.
Tracing back some of the deadly and most violent elements of this movement.
Here he comes, Mr. McVeigh, Mr. McVeigh!
And the opportunities missed to fight it.
The message was clear that we couldn't talk about domestic terrorism at the White House.
Plus, a son confronts his father's legacy of hatred.
It was his idea to create a whites-only enclave there and would start the eventual cleansing of America.
My name is Kelvin Pierce. Is there any way we could get permission to walk around?
Nightline Turning Point. Here now, Lindsay Davis.
Power movement.
You will not replace us!
Hidden in the shadows for decades, is now re-emerging across the country.
The danger now is that so many people feel more comfortable speaking in racist terms, who otherwise used to be under the rocks, in the crevices. But now they're out.
The actions of these groups, including their most violent fringe, can be traced back to playbooks decades old. The legacy of one of the most influential and dangerous still haunts these Appalachian hollows.
To be honest, I have an awful lot of stuff going through my mind as I think about going up to this property. You know, my dad, he gave up everything to go out there, and I know he believed in what he was doing, and, you know, he created this compound, but he was so misguided and so deluded.
Kelvin Pierce grew up with a front row seat to hate.
My father was Dr. William Luther Pierce.
William Luther Pierce, dead for nearly two decades, is still considered among the nation's most dangerous white supremacists.
Many people call us racists, hate mongers.
It's about hatred. It's about racism. It's about exclusion.
One of the first and most famous leaders of the nation's modern white power movement, William Pierce was the founder of a far-reaching extremist group.
What do we want? What do we want?
The National Alliance.
What worries me a lot is the unchecked tide of non-white immigration into this country, both legal and illegal. That is what is really breeding disaster.
Especially active in the 80s and 90s, the National Alliance attempted to bring white power propaganda to the masses.
This whole movement was about becoming an enemy of the nation, to unseat the federal government, create civil disturbance, and for many people, it's imagined as a way to provoke race war.
Basically, to create a whites-only homeland.
Kelvin Pierce is in West Virginia, trying to find the old compound that today is still owned by his father's group.
I guess I'm probably a little nervous. It's been almost 20 years since I've been there. I've only been there twice.
Kelvin's father moved to this secretive compound after rising to white supremacist infamy with his novel, The Turner Diaries.
It is sort of like the Bible of the whole movement.
It truly is the most violent exercise of what it would take to create an all-white state, nation, and world.
But the violent writing soon turned from William Pierce's fictional fantasies to real-life tragedy.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Peter Jennings at ABC News headquarters in New York. We interrupt briefly to tell you of a major explosion in Oklahoma City in a federal building. in the center of Oklahoma City about 9 o'clock local time in Oklahoma.
The Oklahoma City bombing claimed the lives of 168 people, including 19 children, and injured hundreds more. As the investigation into the bombing unfolded, the evidence pointed to a very dire reality.
We can also give you a bit of a hint now as to where the government appears to be focusing its investigation on some of the what are called right-wing white supremacist groups in various parts of the country.
Early on in the investigation, there was a piece of the vehicle used in the attack that was quickly uncovered. And they found a VIN number, and they were able to trace that back to Timothy McVeigh.
Timothy McVeigh, a 26-year-old man from upstate New York, was arrested within hours of the bombing.
Here he comes, Mr. McVeigh, Mr. McVeigh!
All of the discussions were about, why did he do this? You know, where did he come from? And who is he connected to?
And inside McVeigh's yellow Mercury sedan, investigators discovered a sealed envelope containing evidence that would prove crucial to analyzing McVeigh's motivations.
Highlighted passages from the anti-government novel, The Turner Diaries.
The white power fantasy novel written by William Pierce and long held sacred by the white power movement.
He usually had a copy wherever he went, and he oftentimes had extra copies that he would give to others.
Authorities never did tie the National Alliance to the Oklahoma City bombing, pinning the devastating crime on McVeigh and a few accomplices, including Terry Nichols and Michael Fortier. But it became clear that McVeigh's ties to white power groups ran deep.
They're brothers in arms, and that is, they're survivalists or quasi-survivalists, and I can get along with them real well.
Whether it was a Nazi, whether it was a white supremacist, whether it was a survivalist, whether it was a militiaman, he would have fully embraced their views.
It took me a while to accept that Tim had in fact joined the Ku Klux Klan. He tried to downplay that, but other comments showed that hostile attitude towards the people of color.
Timothy McVeigh was convicted of the Oklahoma City bombing and executed on June 11th, 2001.
It is absolutely sad and tragic that most of us knew very little about the development of the movement in which Timothy McVeigh was embedded. We didn't know how far the tentacles reached.
But it turns out there were warnings that something like this could happen.
6 months prior to the bombing in Oklahoma City, the Southern Poverty Law Center sent a letter to then Attorney General Janet Reno. And we talked about what we were seeing in terms of the threat from the anti-government movement. We just saw more and more of this kind of thing happening on the ground.
Will this prompt the United States or the government to take a new and a tougher look at the white supremacist groups, the hate groups, the militias? Is this going to trigger any kind of crackdown?
Let me say that we need to finish this investigation now.
At the time, I don't really think that there was an understanding of how much of a threat we were dealing with within our own country.
To the white power movement, violence is a means to an end, something that Kelvin Pierce says was ingrained in his upbringing.
I remember fantasizing about going into Washington, D.C. and standing on a street corner holding a machine gun and mowing down black people with that machine gun.
But as a college student at Virginia Tech, Kelvin began asking questions and distancing himself from his infamous father.
I learned that I did not need to attach myself and my self-worth to all of the fearful and hateful thoughts that were continually running through my mind, and that I had a different choice.
At the same time, across the country,
maximum violence upon them.
The white power movement, far from the spotlight of authorities, continued to add followers.
When you talk to experts, the 90s was kind of a heyday with Timothy McVeigh and the militias of the day. That was kind of the last time that we seemed to, as a country, really grapple with this right-wing extremism.
This is a
difficult moment for America. Today, we've had a national tragedy.
9/11 happened, and our focus shifted overseas.
We took our eyes off the ball in terms of the threat from domestic terrorism.
Charlottesville then happened in August of 2017. And for many of us, it was a huge wake-up moment.
Racists, Nazis literally showed up. These people felt very comfortable being out in the open, in the light of day, to push their hatred.
A short time ago, we were dispatched to active gunfire at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Squirrel Hill.
2018 and 2019 saw a historic increase in white power violence.
Breaking news, we are learning more about the synagogue massacre.
With the deadliest attacks against both Jewish and Latino communities in American history taking place. 11 people murdered at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh.
Shoppers at the Cielo Vista Mall and Walmart running for their lives as those gunshots rang out.
And 23 gunned down at an El Paso Walmart.
After El Paso happened, there was a lot of appropriate activity at the White House where they were examining what policy changes might need to occur.
With the White House now on board, Newman and her team revived their earlier plans to prioritize white power threats, now a number one threat. But along the way, she says she received an unusual request by the White House.
They directed me that your prevention plan is good, we want to support it. We can't talk about it in the framing of domestic terrorism. We need to talk about this in terms like violence prevention. The message was clear that we couldn't talk about domestic terrorism at the White House.
In a statement to ABC News responding to these claims, the White House said, contrary to these meritless allegations, there is nothing more important to this president than protecting the U.S. from all threats, both foreign and domestic, and he has repeatedly taken strong actions to keep America safe. An ABC News investigation found that since Donald Trump emerged as a presidential candidate in 2015, at least 20 people charged with hate-fueled assaults or threats cited Trump specifically in connection to their actions. We couldn't find any such cases tied to either President Bush or President Obama. When we return, a son confronts his father's deadly legacy.
My name is Kelvin Pierce. I was Dr. Pierce's son. Is there any way we could get permission to walk around?
And what experts believe the country must realize before another attack on American soil?
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation. An innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Driving in West Virginia, Kelvin Pierce finally spots what he's been looking for. the entrance to his father's old compound, once the headquarters for the National Alliance.
It's obvious that there have been vehicles on this road recently, because you can still see tire tracks in the mud. I'm guessing there are people up here. My name is Kelvin Pierce.
Oh, how you doing?
I was Dr. Pierce's son.
Yeah.
Is there any way we could get permission to walk around?
Yeah, I could leave the camera in the truck.
Okay.
ABC producers were not allowed to film inside the compound, but Kelvin Pierce, on the ground for the first time since William Pierce died in 2002, took photos on his phone.
I got to see my dad's trailer, where he lived and where he died. And, you know, just brought it all back.
After his father's death in 2002, the National Alliance largely disbanded. But with ABC News cameras accompanying him on his visit to the West Virginia property, Kelvin realized the group may now be mounting a comeback.
The property is possibly coming back to life, because I know it's sat derelict for years. But now they have people here and they're working on the property and they're kind of trying to bring it back to life.
The current leader of the National Alliance declined to be interviewed by ABC News, but said the group does not allow any illegal activity or violence from members, and in a statement said, "We in the National Alliance believe that our race is worth preserving. To accomplish that, we, as racial separatists, simply advocate geographic separation of the races by whatever means it takes. There can be no so-called white supremacy when we are not in the same space as non-whites." Kelvin spoke to Williams over the phone about his father and the future.
He said, you know, everybody thought we were down and out, but we're back. He said, we are definitely back.
For Kelvin Pierce, it has taken many years to come to terms with his upbringing.
I wasn't even able to talk about it, probably well into my 30s. I was afraid to have anybody know who my father was.
Now 60 years old, Kelvin is married with two daughters. He works as a contractor and founded a relief organization that provides aid to orphanages in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. And after his father's death, Kelvin began what he calls his healing process.
I remember the first time I told my story publicly, one of the things I said was about my fantasy about shooting black people in D.C. And when I watched a couple of black people walk into the audience before I gave my speech, I was like, oh no. I better not say this. But I decided to go ahead and say it, and it was remarkable to me that those black people came up to me and embraced me and said, through tears, that, wow, your story was so powerful and it really helped me. There's hope that is engendered by a story like that, that if I could overcome that hatred and that depression and that feeling of unworthiness, then maybe somebody else could too.
People can change. One of the keys to that is really seeking to understand why people adopt a white supremacist belief or ideology and join a hate group.
We've got to be able to reach out to people who are angry and frustrated and who want to strike out. If we aren't doing that, if we're making some people feel like they can make it in this country and others not make it, then all we're doing is planting the seeds for future Timothy McVeighs to do the kinds of things we saw in Oklahoma City.
One takeaway from a mass casualty event like the Oklahoma City bombing is that the event of violence is not thought of as the end to provoke further violence.
This is a real test. It's a wake-up call for our country. It's not just Russia, it's not just China, it's not just Iran. The reality is our country can collapse not just from foreign adversaries. We can collapse from within. And Oklahoma City is a reminder of that fact.
You can watch the full ABC News documentary, Homegrown Hate, The War Among Us, on abcnews.com, YouTube, and Hulu. And be sure to join our conversation with the hashtag TurningPointABC. That's Nightline for this evening. Thanks for the company, America. Have a great weekend. Good night.